1 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to be talking about Jesus, a cornerstone. Now, it doesn't seem like a real Christmas message, but yet it really is. All this month, last month, December, I say this month, we're in January. All of December, we have been studying on who is Jesus. That is one of the keys that we have found that in the scriptures, we realize that the importance of knowing who Jesus is leads to the very basis of who we are, basis of our faith and why we live and practice what we live, and more than that, why we are a church. Rest upon who Jesus is. We understood his deity. We studied his humanity. We studied that he came in a physical body. Why? To be the sacrifice for our sin. He came in all of those ways so that we might have salvation in and through him, but more than that, that he would be our eternal Savior. And so when we realize the importance of who he is, we begin to realize the importance of him as our foundation. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, would you stand with me? 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, verse 4, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. As we had heard in the program, we see that cultures all over the world celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus, the celebration of the Lord and Savior, God himself, Emmanuel, God with us, has come to the earth to die and live among us. And because of his salvation, we have the opportunity to also live spiritually. In 1 Peter, he's talking about how that Jesus is that chief cornerstone. He gives us a layout of the importance of who Jesus is, but the importance of that we put him in the right place. We put him in the right place in our lives. We put him in the right place in his church. Are you with me today? Don't be afraid to interact. Don't be afraid to answer. Give me an amen every once in a while, or sometimes we say, oh me. But when we hear the word, we should respond. Why? Because we're looking to put him in the right place. A cornerstone in this day and age, as they would build a building, any edifice that they would erect up, they would look to build a stone that would be the main primary anchoring point. This stone, more attention was given to this one stone. It was usually the largest stone. And from it, all things of that building would be measured to and leveled to that stone. It had the greatest importance of that building to be the very instructional, if you will, the measuring point that that building would depend upon, but also rest upon. And so all of this time, all of this effort would be put into this one stone more than any other. Why? Because of the importance that it served. It was not only foundational, but it also kept the house true. And so as we look at our first point, the cornerstone keeps everything true. When the scripture describes Jesus as that cornerstone, he is all that we depend upon, we rest upon, but also that we measure our lives to. You know, so often people will talk about that, well, I hope that I go to heaven. You know, I ask them, I said, do you have an eternal home in heaven? Usually their first response is, well, I hope that I am. I hope that I'm doing good enough. I hope I'm good enough. And usually they would include that, well, when we begin to talk about sin, they would want to compare that, well, I know someone that was a lot worse than I am. Folks, there usually is, right? Wouldn't you agree? There's usually someone that may be a little worse or maybe not near as bad as you and I. Would you agree? That's true. That's true, including me, especially me. And when we look at those examples, we realize that we're not comparing ourselves to one another, nor does God compare us to one another. He compares us to his son, Jesus. He says, be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And Jesus is God, and he's perfect. Amen? He is the measuring line that we are held accountable to. He is the one standard that we rest upon, that we answer to. and that all creation will answer to. But here's something that's interesting, that a cornerstone is something that is just fixed in one place and it remains there. But the scripture describes Jesus as being a living stone, not just something that's an inanimate object that he is just a support in one place at one time. But no, a living stone goes anywhere and everywhere that we go, continuing to be a support, continuing to be a guidance and a direction that we need. He moves and he grows and he strengthens us as we go in life. So it's not just here that we find a cornerstone here in a building, but yet as we go out as his church, we find the support and the guidance continues with us wherever we are. Even in places and times of situations in our society that may not exactly look the same as it does in Scripture, but yet foundationally and scripturally, we have instruction and direction of how to take care of each conversation, each situation, and each decision that we make. But then also, I want us to notice is that he describes this stone as being chosen of God and precious. It's of great value. Why? Because God designed him. Because God sent him. Now, this is not to say that God created Jesus. That's not the truth. We explored that in the messages in past weeks. If you missed that one, you can get on Facebook or YouTube and check it out. We talked about his humanity. Jesus is a pre-existent, eternal God. He is not something that was created or ever come out. He is the creator, okay? And so this is not saying that he was created by God, but yet he was sent of God, called of God, placed by God, and so therefore he is the ultimate authority. We will never have to question the accuracy of who Jesus is. You know, I was really excited yesterday. I bought me a new table saw. Now, if you know me, you can ask my wife. I explore, I investigate what's the best saw, what's the best one for the money, where's the best buy. And I was even getting to the point I was driving myself crazy. I'm like, Lord, you're going to have to send me to the right place. I got to buy this thing. I'm driving myself crazy thinking about this. Well, I got it. And when I got it home, the first thing I do is I break out a square. I break out my measuring tools, and I make sure that the fence is square to the blade. The blade is a square 90 degrees of that. Why? Because when I cut a board, I don't want it to look like this when I want it to look like this. I want it to fit together, and so when I cut two and I put them together, they actually fit instead of being two different angles and nothing's going to work. Why is the importance that I have to adjust? Because the table saw will not stay perfect, but yet the chief cornerstone is always perfect because God has placed him there. That's why. And we never have to question if he fits for today. We never have to question of, is he really going to do and be able to answer the problems that I have today? Is he going to be able to answer what it is that I need? And the answer is yes. So why is it that he was rejected? Did you catch that when we were reading in a text? But he was rejected of men. Why is that? Because men are trying to build something different. When he came to the Jews, they were looking for a king, not a savior. They were looking for someone to bring them out of control of Rome and set up Israel and return us back to our greatest glory as Israel. But yet, it wasn't time. It wasn't time. In fact, Jesus came not just as a king to Israel. He came as a king of all kings. He didn't just come as a savior just to Israel. He came to be the savior of the world. That's why we're celebrating Jesus today, right? Because even as Gentiles, even of all nations, all tongues can celebrate that Jesus has come to be our Savior. Only God had that perfect insight. Man, he was just limiting to what he wanted. But the problem is that also man is trying to build what he wants to build. The chief cornerstone means that all things must be built on this stone. But sometimes in life we decide that, well, I want to build on my own. You know, I can remember my dad, we would work in the shop, and my dad was the type that he's always busy. He never could sit still. He still doesn't sit still, but he likes to go out and work with his hands. And so I would go out and spend time with him, and he'd be working on something. I'm like, Dad, I want to help. Well, he didn't want me to help. I was going to mess up, get things in the way. So he'd give me my little project, and I'd work on that project. But then when he got his project done and showed Mom, she was so excited I didn't get to be a part of that because I had my own little project. I never finished it. But then one day he saw that I was disappointed, and he said, okay, you're going to work with me on this one. Oh, the patience that he has. But he let me work on it, and we worked together on it because it was one project. You can't treat God as a sense of, well, God, you do your thing, and I'm going to go do mine. And then at the end, we'll just see if everything works together. My friend, don't play that game. Don't play that game. There is no other foundation than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. That's what Paul tells us. That's what the Scripture tells us. There is no other foundation to build upon. There is no other ideologies. There is no other way. They've tried it and they failed. So I pray that you do not fail. The righteous lives are built upon this cornerstone. 1 Peter 2:5, you also as living stones are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What is a living stone? So now he's described God as, Jesus as a living stone, a living cornerstone. So anything that's built upon him are lively stones. So as we come to know the Lord Jesus, through salvation, he forgives us of sin and he restores us to a right relationship with God, but then he indwells us with the Holy Spirit, giving us for the very first time spiritual life. And in that spiritual life, as he empowers us, we are allowed to live spiritually, to live a life that is acceptable to God, that is pleasing to God. Not until after salvation is that a reality. So then after salvation, we begin to build our lives upon his teaching, his guiding, his leadership, his conviction, and all of these things. We rest it upon him, and then we become lively stones. Now sometimes we think that, well, we have to manufacture liveliness. We need an exciting speaker. We need a lot of lights. We need a great music band. And we all of these things. You can have those things, and that's great if you have those things. But without Christ, without the foundation of the Lord Jesus, there is no spiritual life in all of those things. The spiritual life comes from within. The soul that God has restored. But more than that, the Holy Spirit working in and through us to empower us to do what he has called us to do, to accomplish what he has laid in front of us as a church, as individuals. The spiritual house is that we begin to build upon Christ. So here's something that's interesting. You ever seen a building? You know, we worked hard about a year ago, and we power washed this whole building, and then we sprayed sealer on the brick. You know, when we first started, I thought, oh yeah, we'll be able to whip through this. Man, my neck and my arms never hurt so bad, and before long, you got so focused, we're looking at every single brick as we're cleaning each one. And I begin to realize some of the mortar between some of the bricks was coming out, and some of them we had to repair and get them back in place. But thankfully, there was no bricks missing. It would cause a problem if one brick is missing, isn't it? It becomes a structural concern, becomes a leak problem, but that one brick being gone weakens all of those around it. Did you know, as members of Lindsay Lane, when you're gone, others are affected because you're gone? We miss you. We long for you. We pray for you. But more than that, you have a place. Now, some of you say, well, what if I'm visiting? What if I'm a regular attender? You're affecting us as well. Amen? But you know what? Come and join us and affect us even more. Okay? Can I give you that invitation? Come and join us and give us even more joy. Give us even more that God's going to use all of us. But why join? Why can't I just come? Because God has designed us to be his body, and we do that together. We don't do that as individuals. Remember we talked about? We're building upon this stone. We're building upon the Lord Jesus, and we do that together on the same person. The person is Jesus Christ. We can't just go out and do our own thing. And unfortunately, that is becoming the ideology of today, is I don't need religion, I don't need church, and I don't need this and that. But if you look at the Scriptures, there's nowhere you're going to go and find that Jesus said you don't need the church. He says just the opposite. He has called believers in the New Testament age that we serve him in and through the church. Honor and glory is brought to him through the church. And some people say, well, can I just do this at home? You are called to worship at home. You are called to have study and discipleship at home. But discipleship happens together. not alone. It is not given in Scripture. We were not created to do it alone. And folks, that's why we've been struggling a little bit during this COVID season of trying to be apart when we're wired to be together. That's a reality of things. That's a spiritual basis of things. We serve together in the book of Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Household of God. Not the building, but you. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, that's the teaching of the apostles. They established the teachings and the doctrines of the church based upon, and look what their teachings were based upon, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Folks, we're doing this together. The foundations that we rest upon is doctrines and teachings of the Scripture grounded upon that cornerstone, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see the foundation of all that. And then we are a holy temple. Now sometimes we always want to think of a building or a structure, but that holy temple is simply meaning the holy presence of God. When we come together in the presence of the Lord to worship Him in His presence. Why? Because we're lively stones. We come to serve a living God, not a dead relic. We're a chosen people. I'm going to read verses 1 Peter 2, verses 7 through 10. I know I read 7 and 8, but I want to read it again with two more verses added. Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. There's two groups of people that he's talking about here. Those who are lost and those who are saved. What is the difference? Those that are lost have rejected Jesus. They've rejected His word. They've rejected that they're sinners and they need to be forgiven of God for offending a holy and perfect God. They've rejected His plan and say, I don't want anything to do with that. So therefore, Jesus becomes a stumbling block. Why? Because it requires of them what they're not willing to do. So the stone of offense is reminding us that He could either be our foundation and our support, or He can become our judgment. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. The reality of who Jesus is will never change. His perfections will never change. His word will never change. His promises will never change. All that He is and all of His purpose will not change. But the decisions that we make of do we accept or reject Jesus will determine if He's our foundation or if He is judgment and offense. What do you do when you trip over something after you scream and yell and bite your tongue? You usually pick it up and throw it out of the way, don't you? Get out of the way so I don't trip on it again. Make sure nobody else trips on it. This is unfortunately what Israel did with Jesus. He wasn't conforming to the society's ideas and their ideology, so they moved Him out of the way and rejected Him. You know, we're living in a time today that they're challenging us. They're challenging our freedoms. They're challenging our right to worship. Some of the things that they said in the play today, that we are living in a nation that's free. We're not as free as we used to. We're not as free as we once were. But the reality is we're still called. We're still disciples. And we still need to stand on the one true salvation and foundation of the Lord Jesus. So here you have to make a choice today. I want to ask you, how are you building? Are you building your own thing? Doing it your way? I don't need church. I don't need God's word. I don't need Jesus. I'll do this out. I'll figure it out. I'll do it my way. And, whatever the end is. But can I remind you that eternity is way too long and hell is way too hot for you just to hope that you're going to go to heaven? It's not something to play with, folks. But then some people say, well, how do I know? You go by the Scriptures. You take the verses I've given you today. Don't take my word for it. Get into God's word and see exactly what he has to say. So what are you building on? Are you building your own project? Or are you building a life of faith and commitment that is centered on and around the Lord Jesus? Have you evaluated? Church, we need to be evaluating. Are we evaluating, is Jesus truly our foundation? Or are we putting other things as a motivator? Are other things a foundation of what we're doing and why? How are we doing as a church? Jesus reminds them, if everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. You remember that? Wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house on the what? Sand. And then all the storms of life came and rains and storms beat upon the house. And the house that was on the rock, what did it do? Stood firm, right? What happened to the house on the sand? It fell. And the scripture says, and the fall was great. Meaning, it didn't come back. They didn't build it again. Everything was lost. I want to ask you a few questions. You stand with me. Just close your eyes for a minute. I want you to answer these questions to yourself. The foolish man spent his entire life building a house. He built it on the sand, meaning he had rejected Jesus. But then when the difficulties come and the end come, we find out that he lost everything. Are you willing to build your life risking losing everything in the end? Are you willing to put all this effort of all your life and have no eternal reward? Are you willing to invest everything that you give and just watch someone else benefit from your labor because you built on the wrong foundation? Here's one thing that we can know with certainty. When Christ is our foundation, we're strong, we're secure, we look forward to the rewards that are greater than our labors, and we find stability for our life and the lives of our home, our spouse, our children, and our extended family. Everyone benefits when we build our life on this foundation. And with that one true foundation, we're able to leave behind a lasting legacy. Where are you building today? How are you building today?